a great honour to be here again today. This story starts in my teenage years in this very building, shortly after it was built in 1967, and I held the esteemed post of the shamus in the shul, and in my various bits of tidying up, I found sweet wrappers which had dubious implications about kashrus. One particular one I remember was opal fruit. So I scribbled a little note: opal fruits are not kosher, and I stuck it up on the door of the cloakroom. And Rav Kufa Shlita came in and said, "Who put that up there?" I said, "I did." And he said, "Could you take it down, please?" I said, "I beg your pardon?" He said, "Please, could you take it down?" I said, "Yes, yes, certainly. But I hope you don't mind me asking, but isn't it important to spread the word that these sweets are not kosher? I found these wrappers in the shul." He said, "No, that's not necessarily the case." I said, but why is that?" He said, "Look, you will understand in 5 years' time." So I thought, right, I'll have to make a note in my diary about this. And as time went by, and I slowly matured, and I'm still trying to, I learned various halachas about tochocha, when you do and when you don't. And when I was just chatting with Rav Konshlita this morning, he said, "Yes, well, his conclusion was, when he learns about tochocha, is almost never." So if you wonder why your new Rav is never telling you off, it's for halachic reasons. I've passed around a handout where you have a Gemara of Arachin, and you've got an extract from Arachim from the Shulchan Aruch. There's some more over there. Could you pass them over? There's some spare ones. Thanks. Over a number of years, I had some questions to ask about tochocha. And I spoke a lot to my Rosh Yeshiva about it, Rav Meir Schlevinger, and he told me that years and years ago he once saw a sefer about tochocha. And he said, "If you ever find a copy in a bookshop, buy one for me as well." And I searched and I searched and I couldn't find it anywhere. So I started looking in old catalogues, and I found a reference to a sefer which was published in 1951 by a dayan of the Beis Din in Tel Aviv called the Rav Kaplan. And the only place I could find it was in the library of the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. And so there I was, and I duly photocopied it. And this sefer had a very limited circulation. And I'm saying that because there has a number of alterations in it made by hand. So that's the implication of it. But it's the most beautiful sefer, and it brings down the opinions of all the different poskim with a kind of kitzur shulchan aruch on the subject at the back. And he writes in his introduction that this mitzvah of tochocha he regards as the hardest mitzvah to keep in the whole Torah. And why is it the hardest mitzvah to keep? Because it involves enormous discretion, enormous judgment, psychology, understanding of other people, and the realization that there are times when you must not tell somebody off for something that they're doing wrong. Because if you tell somebody off and you're harming their self-esteem, then they might feel rebellious about it. They will feel upset about it. They might feel annoyed about it. And they might even hate you for it. And as the Pasuk says, "Al tochach leitz pen yishanecha." Somebody who's a scoffer, you certainly don't tell off, because he will only hate you. And that's not the idea of tochocha. The idea of tochocha is that we are all together. There is a din of al-revus. We are responsible for each other's actions. And if we tell a friend that he's doing something wrong, we're doing it out of love. We're doing it because we care for them, not because we want to elevate ourselves or our ego. Similarly, a person who receives a telling off should do so with ahava, or should do so gladly. A person who loves tochochas is a person who acquires Torah. Right, we've got some space in here. Are there more handouts over there? Yeah, well, it says that a balabais should never be too much of a strict person in his house, because by instilling an enormous sense of fear in the members of his family, they will do things secretly behind his back. They will do things rebelliously. So there is such a halacha brought down. Indeed, where it says on Friday afternoon, it says, Shalosh Advarim, there are three things a person says, Basot Beso Be'erev Shabbos. You say it in Bamim Adlikim. Isatem, Iravtem, Idliku Es Haner. Have you taken Maisa? Have you done the Eruv? Have you please light the Shabbos light. So there, the commentaries say one word, Benichuso, which means politely, calmly. That person shouldn't be shouting in his house, come on already, did you know that Shabbos is in 5 minutes? A person should do it calmly, that people don't get this sense of fear put into them in such a way that they'll just rebel against it. But it's got to be done in a calm way, and there's lots of halachas written about the way a person speaks to his wife and so on, in a calm and loving way rather than in a bossy, strict way. So if we look at this Gemara in Arachim, towards the end of the narrow lines, the fifth last narrow line, Tonu Rabbanon, have we got that? Lotis Noisachicho Dovavecho, just as the narrow lines are drawing into the wider lines, Yochel, I might think, what does it mean you may not hate your brother in your heart? I might think, Lo Yakenu, one may not hit him, Lo Yasirenu, one may not slap him, Lo Yikalkelenu, one may not curse him. Talmud Lama Bilvavecho, in your heart, we're talking about heart, the hatred inside your heart you must not do. What if you see your friend doing something shameful? You are duty bound to tell him off. As it says, you must surely tell off. This is a pasuk in Kedoshim. If he told him off below Kibel, he didn't receive it, he didn't accept it. How do you know that you repeat it to the Ochichenu and tell him off? Talmud Lomar Telchiach. It's a double expression. You shall surely tell him off. So if you told him off once and it didn't work, then you should tell him off again. Mikol Makom. In any case, Yochal Afilu Mishdanim Ponov. Are you really harming him in terms of embarrassing him, putting him to shame? Talmud Lomar Lo Sisar Lo Chet. In the same verse, it says you may not bear upon him a sin, namely, if you put him to shame, you embarrass him, that is an even greater sin, and therefore you have to strike a balance. You can't put a person to shame in public. Tanya, we learned in a braisa, Omar Rabbi Tarfon, Tama Ani, I'm very surprised, in Yesh B'dor Hazeh, if there would be in this generation, Shemakabel Tokocho, anyone who can receive Tokocho, Im Omalo Tul Kisam Mibene Nechol. If one says to a person, take away this thorn from between your eyes, which is a figurative expression of really saying, listen, you've done a small aveiro, a small sin. Omalo, he can say back to him, take away this beam from between your eyes. Namely, are we really qualified nowadays to tell somebody off? Because we ourselves are not very kosher, and who are we to tell other people off if we've got to get our own house in order? That's what the Gemara is saying. So a person should have the humility and say, well, really, I'm not worthy to tell off anybody else because I've got to improve myself enormously. This is a classic Gemara then on this subject, and it carries on. I'd be very surprised if there's anybody nowadays who knows how to tell off. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, May Dani Alay Shemayim Va'oretz, the heavens and earth testify. Shaharbe Pa'omim, many times, Loka Akiva Yodi. Akiva was punished, well, this means was rebuked by me. Shayisi Kobel Olov, the Rabban, but he accepted it. And then there's Shehosif B, he carried on and did it more times to me. The Choshekhen Shasafdiva Aav, or the Kaima Shneema Altachachlech Benyus Anechon. But I multiplied my love for him as a result of it. Namely, you don't tell off somebody if they won't listen, because it says, don't tell off a scoffer, penis on echom. It's a person who is wise who might be having to be told off. And then it gives a little story afterwards, but we'll carry on a bit more. What if a person wants to give a tochocha, a telling off to somebody, but he has another shelo lishmo? Another shalolishma means he's got humility, but he's only pretending humility. Shalolishma means it's not genuine. So a person saying, well, I'm not really worthy to tell off, but that is not sincere to say that. But he is fearful of arousing hatred. He doesn't want to fall out with a guy, so he thinks, well, I'd better not tell him off. Which is better? Well, the best thing is anovalishma, humility for the sake of humility. The implication of the Gemara is that if you've got pretended humility, you've got an excuse not to have to tell off. But the best thing is anovalishma, humility for the sake of it. Because the Omar Ma, as I said, anovagadola mikulam, humility is the best thing of all. Shalodishma nami adifo. It's also good when it's not genuine. Why? As it says, the olam yasek odam b'torah b'mitzvus. A person should always delve in Torah mitzvus. Afati shelodishma, even if it's not for the sake of the mitzvah, should be tov shelodishma b'olishma. Because as a result of doing it continuously, even though it's not genuine, you will come to do it genuinely. We'll turn over the page, and we'll come to a piece of the Shulchan Aruch. And we once knew about the story of the rabbi who came to shul. I'm not talking about this shul, and he started telling off people about keeping Shabbos and about keeping kashrus, and the gabbayim were not very pleased about it. So they said to him, look, rabbi, you know, you're offending people. So he said, well, then what shall I talk about? They said, well, talk about Judaism. Well, let's now move into Hilchos Yom HaKippurim. If we look at the siman on the dinim of Yom Kippur, siman tovrei shches se'if beis. The second paragraph, Noshim she'ochros v'shosos ad shechashecho, women who are eating and drinking on Erev Yom Kippur until, it doesn't really mean get dark, it means until shkiah, until sunset. Now the din is this, that when the sun dips below the horizon, that's shkiah, that is when we say the next day starts, although there is some doubt when the day really starts, so because of a doubt, to be on the safe side, we start from sunset. But, says the Torah, V'tishol HaChodesh, May Erev Ad Erev, on the 9th of the month, and Yom Kippur is the 10th of the month, so we learn out from the oral law that you have to add on something. There is a din of Tosefes. You have to add on, and not only for Yom Kippur, but also for Yom Tov and also for Shabbos. So when you look at the time in the Luach, when Shabbos comes in, the Luach we have adds 15 minutes to Shkiyah Sachamot. And one lights up, by that time, you're keeping the mitzvah of Tosefes, of adding on. Me'ikad in the mitzvah of Tosefes should be at least a few minutes. So the minhag is to put the luach on 15 minutes, in Yerushalayim I think it's 40 or 45 minutes. There is the minhag to add on a certain amount, but the din is to add on something. If you don't add on, you are avoiding a mitzvah daraisa, a mitzvah min ha-Torah. So here it talks about women who are eating close to the time of Shkiyah Sachama, and they are ignoring the mitzvah of Tosefes on Erev Yom Kippur. The hein einon yodos, they do not know. She mitzvah lahosif michol al hakodesh. It's a mitzvah to add on from the weekday to the holy day. Ein mamchin biyodom. One does not tell them off. Kedei shelo tavo lasos bezodo. In order that they do not come to do it on purpose. What does this mean? That people who are doing an aveira and they've done it regularly and frequently and they think it's all right. We've always done it like that. Well, that's the way we used to do it in Frankfurt, or whatever it is. Then, if you tell them off, they will ignore you. And then afterwards, instead of doing it for shogeg unintentionally, they will do it for mazid, intentionally. And then, if people do an aveira intentionally, they'll get a worse punishment for it. And we don't want them to get a worse punishment for it. So we keep quiet, we don't say anything. Says the Ramah, that's the Rashi writing which follows, Rav Moshe Isserles, who writes for the Ashkenazim, Hagav, who are in b'chol dovar isur, b'chol dovar isur, in any prohibition, not just Hilchos Yom HaKippur, in anything at all, on Rino we say, mutar shushogin v'lo yimazidin. It's better that people are doing an aveira unintentionally rather than intentionally. V'dafka she'ein ha'mekoresh b'Torah, but we're talking about those dinim which are not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. Even though it's min ha-Torah, The din of Tosefes is min haTorah, but it's not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. Certain things which are explicitly mentioned in the Torah, you may not murder, you may not steal, these are explicit things. Everybody knows them and realizes them, and it's much easier to tell somebody off if they're going around killing and stealing than something like Tosefes, which they won't appreciate and understand so much. Mind you, there are quite a number of dinim min haTorah which are not explicit. Most of the 39 malachas of Shabbos are not actually written in the Torah. The Torah talks about carrying, it talks about plowing, it talks about sowing, it talks about handling fire. But apart from that, you don't get the malachas actually listed in the Torah. We rely on the oral law to explain to us what they are. Aval im mefurish b'Torah, but if it's explained in the Torah, molchim b'yodoh. One tells off the im yozeah. Next page. And if a person knows that his words will not be listened to, lo yomar barabim lo kichot. One should not tell off in public, rat parmachas, only once. Of lo yarib b'telchachos, but one shouldn't multiply telchachos, be'achash yadesh lo yishmu olav. Once you know that people won't listen to you, avol b'yochid, but when the case of an individual, chayav lo kichot ad she'akenu o yekalalenu. One tells off an individual until he hits you or curses you. The poskim say he doesn't actually hit you. It means ad velo ad bichlal, up to and not including, which means when you think it's reached the stage where he might smite you one, then you stop. There are other poskim in the Rishonim who simply say not necessarily hit you or curse you, but bark back at you, the zifo. So there is a difference of opinion on that. The Mishnah Berurah brings down various opinions, but I'm not sure how much time we're going to have if I go through all of that. But if we pick out just one or two small pieces, look at the third last wide line of the Mishnah Berurah in the middle. Avol b'dovah hamafurish b'Torah, something explicitly in the Torah, v'heim ovrim lal zeh, and they transgress it. V'vadai einom shogegim, they're not unintentional. Oh, sorry. Page, yeah, first page. Well, the second last line now, first page. V'lo shayach v'lo mamutiv shushogin, we then don't say mutiv shushogin. V'machinon, and we tell them off. Shinonu Achiparashi, and we punish them until they stop. Mochin Beyodon, Dafka Bedeleka Sakon, as long as there's no danger to you. Avalimba de Ikachashas Sakona, but if there's a possible danger to you, Ain Sorich Limchos. There are numerous poskim who write on this. There's an interesting Rambam on this piece of Lashin She'ochlos. There's a Rambam which I haven't put in front of you, but in Hilchos Shavisos also, the Rambam writes about women who are eating and drinking until it's dark and they don't know. The Rambam says a very strange phrase. He says, Shahare I efshar sheyeh shotev abayis. It's impossible for a person to be a police officer in his house. Kol echod ve'echod lahazin noshov, to everybody has to watch over their wives. Doesn't sound very patronizing for the women, does it? So that's another criteria, says the Rambam. Namely, not only is it that we don't want them to do a mezid instead of a shogeg, or that there is a chazoka they've got in doing what they're doing, the shogeg, and therefore they think in their minds that it's a heta, says the Rashba. But in addition to all that, it's impossible for us to be policemen. We can't stand over everybody the whole time keeping a watch over them. We have to have some trust in other people. Now, this might sound derogatory because it talks about noshim she'ochlos, women who are eating. And the implication of that infers certain Rishonim that we're talking about women and not men. Other Rishonim disagree and say we're not talking specifically about women, but we're talking about men or women who are doing averas b'shogeg. Maybe the assumption is that men are more prone to learning than women are, as has been in many past years, but it's not necessarily the case now. So that men who are doing something inadvertently or accidentally, should we tell them off or shouldn't we tell them off? Do we make a distinction between if it's in public or on their own? And then there's a further difference, and that is, Is one the Rav? Is one the Manhig HaTzibur? Because if one is the Rav, and people are doing things wrong, they could say, well, the rabbi was standing there, and he didn't say anything, so it must be all right. So the Rav's got that problem. Unlike just one person, the Chevra, to another, does one tell off, or does one not tell off? Yeah, that's a very important point. Tochacha sounds like a harsh word, rebuke. But the way a person does that rebuke should be in as tactful and polite as possible. In the most friendly possible way. Because one's doing it out of love. One's doing it because one shares responsibility with one's fellow Jew. And if one goes up to somebody and says, "Here, I saw you yesterday morning doing whatever," that's not the way at all. Chat them up, "Hello, how are you, how's the family, blah, blah, blah. Listen, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but I couldn't help noticing." That would be a much nicer way. When I was doing once some shirim at summer schools of the United Synagogue, which they were putting on for teenagers. And there was a group of us lecturers, so to speak, and some of these teenagers came from homes where things were not very committed at all. And I remember once, I was at one, and one evening in the hallway, in the eyes of everybody, there was a teenage boy and girl caressing each other. And you've got there people who are rabbonim, people who are lecturers, and they were standing there not sure what to do. Because if they go up to and say, "Look, come on, this is not in order here," the whole idea of those summer schools was to give them a sense of chinuch and love for Yiddishkeit, and not to turn them away, not to make them feel that Yiddishkeit is a list of don'ts, but that they're coming into an atmosphere where there's a ruach, where there's a nice Shabbos, and that Yiddishkeit is something to enjoy. And so there was this sort of reluctance from myself and certain others to actually say anything, but maybe just look the other way, because otherwise they'll say, "Oh well, he was there and he didn't say anything." And there was a certain educationalist there by the name of Harold Levy, who just walked up to this young couple and he whispered in the boy's ear, "Try letting go of her and see if she falls down." He got the message, but it was done in such an atmosphere that the boy laughed. He didn't mind it. He felt a love for Harold Levy for saying this to him. Now that requires a skill. It requires a certain understanding to say it in such a way that one isn't actually making the person feel that they're being told off. Once I asked the Shaila about when people I know will not listen, and I was told, "Well, when you tell off, you don't actually have to do it in the lashon of telling off at all. You can do it just in the way of a conversation. You could say, hey, somebody asks you, 'How was your holiday?' 'Oh, we had a lovely time. We went to a place where there was a men's only swimming beach, and we found a wonderful place where we could get kosher sandwiches, and we and I found there a shop which was selling very cheap suits, and I didn't have any problem in getting it Shabbos tested afterwards.' And that is all in the way of conversation. You're not telling off a person, but if you know that that person needs to be told of such things, then that's the best way of doing it, because you're not embarrassing them. They don't feel intimidated if you're doing it, well, not the way I just said it, but...
Coming back to your original example, with my good friend, that it's the original truth.
Yes.
That wasn't a review by any means, that was passing information before the summary. So how
Well, I did once ask a Shaila about, you know, when you're giving a shir, you're telling people things they might not know and they might be transgressing. What do you do then if you know they won't listen? And I was told, look, that's Talmud Torah, that's not Tochacha. There is no restriction on teaching people Torah. There is no restriction, otherwise you're going to start doing away with Torah. So if you've got something to tell people in the way of a halacha shir, you say it. If they know, they know. If they listen, they listen. If they don't, they don't. And that's not a Tochacha. But as far as that incident is concerned, I do think that it was a tochacha. It was saying to people, all right, it might not be putting individuals to shame because you're not saying it to people in front of others and so on, but Rabbi Cooper had this genuine belief that there will be people who will continue doing certain things intentionally instead of unintentionally. There was another experience I had in this shul in my immature years as a teenager, which I'll share with you, and that was on a Yom Tov. I understand it's not the practice now, but there was a practice in the late 60s of people on Yom Tov to go out of shul during Haftarah and to have a smoke. And they went to the boiler room to get a light, and there was really a cloud of smoke in the foyer downstairs. And I'm not embarrassing anybody here. No. Well, see, for those who smoke then, unfortunately, they're not in this world anymore. But, and I was the shamus of the shul, and I was this cheeky schnips, aged 16 years old. I mean, who is this young boy telling us what to do? But I was a bit cheeky once, because I thought, I'll leave the boiler room locked. And maybe I'll lock it just towards the end of Musaf when we get to the Adon Olam. They want to light up afterwards, okay, but I'm just going to leave it locked. I'm not going to do anything else. And that's what I did. And I didn't realise that I would be causing quite a stir at the time. Somebody came up to me for the key in the Haftarah for the boiler room. Anyway, the issue did go before the Rav, and I thought to myself, I wonder what the Rav's going to say on this one. This is going to be very interesting. And in the end, because the Rav said to me, look, let them have the key. So I asked the Rav, how do you explain this? You know, is it right? He said, of course it's not right to smoke during the Haftarah. He said, but listen, Eli, you've got to understand this. There are people in this shul who were once in concentration camp. They were living in this world through hell. It affected their nerves, and we can't understand how it affected them. We haven't been through it. It's not for us to judge those people. And I found that enormously educating for me for life. It was a very great lesson to learn. I'll tell you another story which happened to me. Not in this building, but at a Sheva Brachos. It was a Sheva Brachos in my own family. But it was a Lubavitch Sheva Brachos, where virtually everybody there belonged to Chabad. And we were davening Maariv. And as we were davening Maariv, I realised that we were all facing the picture, a very large portrait of a very famous man, the Lubavitch Rebbe, Zichrono Livracha, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And as we were starting the Shemanesh, I thought, crumbs, we can't face that picture while we're davening Shemanesh. There's no look us about this. So, without thinking, I went up to it, as the Shemanesh was started, and I turned it round. And I couldn't help noticing that there were certain people going, no, but I disregarded that, and I started my Shemanesh. But at the end of it, well, I better not really tell you what happened, but I was lucky to get out of there alive. There was a very, very big shouting match going on. Well, I tried to keep quiet, really, but I was really, really given what for. Somebody told me that I was Chayav Musa. So, try and make sure. Somebody said to me, you're Chayav Musa, and, you know, I don't know if Teshuva will help you. So I tried, and I'm still here, but I went to my Rosh Hashiva afterwards, my Mesh Lezing, and I said to him, look, what's the right thing to do? You know, I couldn't daven with facing that picture. And all the more so because he's such a well-respected man, all the more so one shouldn't daven to it, because then it can look more idolatrous than if it would just be some picture about anything else. He said to me, look, you're right, you don't daven towards such a picture. Nobody may daven towards such a picture. But there's one thing which you do have to remember, and that is, you don't do anything which can start off a machlokes. Anything which might start off an argument, which is not the Shem Shemayim, or Shem, you don't start a machlokes. So you face a different direction. So don't daven towards the picture. You just face a different way, and you daven. And leave them alone. If they want to daven towards it, that's not your problem. And this relates to the din of tochoch. Okay? Tell off, you don't tell off. What's going to be the result of telling off if you're going to get machlokis in the tzibur? So the truth is, I did not do the right thing. I thought I was doing the right thing. And often we do things thinking, oh, I must do it this way. This is what the right thing is to do. That's what the halacha says. But sometimes, especially when it comes to telchocha, it's not as clear cut as anything. It's an extremely grey area. Well, we do get nowadays, say, in the Jewish Tribune, kashrus alert, and people want to be notified that something which was on a list until now is no longer on the list and is not approved. So that is warning the tzibur about something. That's not really a tochacha. But the flavour in which I was doing what I was doing was considered as one at that particular time in those circumstances. But, yeah, a kashrus alert is not a tochacha. It's just to... Yeah, actually he's right. In my case it was aimed at a particular individual who might then carry on doing what he was doing. Whereas the intention with a kashrus alert is usually most people will take heed of it. I think the impression which the Rav gathered then was that certain people will not take heed of it, and that's why it wasn't appropriate at that time. And what we did do though subsequently was agree to publish a list. We wrote to manufacturers, and we did this in Hasmonean school. We wrote to manufacturers and made up a list, because there had been many years before a list from Gateshead which had dried up. And we prepared a list which had a limited circulation, and in fact the night before we were going to circulate most of them, Rav Cooper said we're going to throw it all away, because we discovered from Mr. Steinhardt, who was in this shul with Snowcrest, he showed to us how by law, when they describe ingredients, they're not bound by law to tell you certain things, such as about emulsifiers, that they're not called ingredients, and therefore the whole thing could have been rather misleading. But that was that intention at the time, rather than to put up a notice about one brand, but to do a generalised thing for everybody. So it's something which has developed from experience, and I'm sharing with you those experiences. When do I finish? 22. Alright. There are interesting poskim who write about what about when one's parent is doing something wrong, or when the Rav is doing something wrong. I found an interesting tshuva for the Tzelach Chochma, Rav Tzalel Stern, Zechonu Levracha, who asks, if your father is, or your parents are doing something wrong, now the traditional way is you mustn't go up to a father or a teacher and say, hey, you can't do that, that's not right, it's disrespectful. The way to approach it is, look, doesn't it say such and such in the Torah? Is it not the case that one is, oh, I don't understand why you're doing this, did we not once learn, etc., etc.? It should be done in a polite way. And that's why it's a good idea even to do it with one's friends in that way. But he does say something quite surprising, where he says, you are allowed to say to a parent, Dad, where did you get the heter from to do what you're doing? Because I learned. He says that you are allowed to say that. When I told my wife about this, she thought it was enormously insulting to say to a parent, where did you get that heter from, Dad? But he does write this in his Shulas that that is an appropriate way, but it's better to say, did we not learn such and such? The problem, of course, is when people are talking a lot in the davening, and how do you make a remark to them? You know, if you go, shh, it doesn't always work. And once I did try saying to a person, excuse me, could you just speak a little bit louder? The laning is disturbing me, and I can't hear what you're saying. But sarcasm generally isn't the way, and it's a problem. It's a problem. But if one does meet with the issue, on balance, you're safer off not saying anything. If it's somebody who is not your friend. Because it says in the Pasuk, Hocheach tochiach es amisecho, you shall tell of your neighbour. And the Poskim write, amisecho ze chavercho. Amisecho means your friend. And if it's a person who's not your friend, who's not so likely to listen to you, you're better off steering clear. Now the Poskim go into great detail as when do we say Mutav Shiv Shogegin. It's better that you are Shogeg instead of Mazid. Unintentional rather than intentional. And the din we learn out from the Mishnah Berurah and from this Shulchan Aruch is that it's not the Furash Batorah, it's a din d'rabbanon and not a din min ha-Torah. And so there are certain examples you find this expression in, and not in other cases. Like, one should not rhythm one's clapping to music on Shabbos. So they matachin, they merakdin. Dancing to a rhythm is frowned upon. But there it says that if people are doing it, don't tell them off. Why? Mutav shiv shogin v'lo mezidin. It's better that they're doing it for shogeg instead of the mazes. Then in the Gemara in Shabbos, in the fifth perek, it talks about women who go out with certain items of jewellery. And those kinds of jewellery are not wearing. They're not b'derech malbush. Does one tell them off? And they're wearing it in a public place. And there it says, mutav sheyu shogin v'lo mezidin. It's better that they're doing it for shogeg instead of the mezid. And the poskim there say, well, nowadays it's questionable whether there is a proper rishus harabim, a public place, because you don't have 600,000 people walking through, and it's something which they don't necessarily appreciate, even though they know there's a din about carrying. So then it's considered as something which is eino mefurash b'Torah. There is a Rosh who talks about chodosh bizman hazeh, whether one should tell off people regarding the eating of produce of the five grains, where you should wait till the following Pesach, until that's when, on the second day of Pesach, the korban was brought. The korban omer was brought, and then afterwards there's no issue of chodosh. There's an argument between poskim whether chodosh really applies nowadays, and you do now get some bakeries who proudly say that they make what they make from old flour. And the problem is this time of the year when produce comes over from Canada, so between now and Pesach there may be produce from the new stock. In Manchester now you've got labels up. Normally in shops they're proud to tell you that they got fresh produce, but they're proud to tell you that they got old produce. And that's another one of the cases where the Rosh writes, Mutash you shall give a loan mazidin, you don't have to tell off people. And my late great uncle Dain Posen, Zichron Levracha, who was on the Kadassia Beis Din, told other rabbonim not to tell people off about Chodosh, or not even to teach people about Chodosh, because it will create enormous unnecessary hardship at a time when poverty was rife and there were rations going off. So that is really it in a nutshell. I haven't really left you with a lot to go away with, saying when you do tell off, when you don't tell off, because it's so difficult to earmark exactly when that would be. But from the experiences and examples that we've been discussing, I think we've got a general idea. An idea of go easy, if you're in doubt, say nothing. But if you can do it in a tactful way, in a discreet way, in a polite or friendly way, that's the way. My father was in fact well known in this shul for going around telling people if their tefillin was not being worn properly. And he wouldn't actually go and touch them and move it, but he'll show the picture in the siddur and remind them, because very often one out of every 10 people don't even realise it, that it slips below the hairline or that it's not properly in the middle, and they're losing out on a mitzvah daraisa of wearing tefillin. So sometimes, usually, people don't mind being told this, if you just go to them like this. You know, if you just tell them, you know, your tefillin not quite right. But I have come across people who get very offended about it, and therefore one has to know the person whom one is dealing with. Okay, well that's it in a nutshell. Tochiach, tochiach es amisecho, amisecho zech haverecho, your friends. Thank you.